You say you want a revolution. Well, you got one. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. I repeat, the revolution will not be televised. It will, however, be podcast. Thanks for being part of the 48%. Thanks for being here. You are not here by mistake. This is the right side of history. Let the revolution begin. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Because here in the club, we all fam.
Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Once again, another podcast playing wherever you are. We come to you. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah. The Great 48. That's what we're a part of. So.
Oh, yeah. See, the Democrats need to work on their slogans, you know, like defund the police. That was a nightmare, right? The Great 48. I love that.
Yes. Although we really need that to be the Great 52 or something. We need a little more than 48%, but we'll deal with that in 2 years.
Yeah, we'll get there. Welcome to the podcast. See our webpage, thevocalminority.net. You can see all our socials.
Yeah, find us on, let's see, TikTok, while it still exists, Reddit, YouTube. We've agreed to blow up our Twitter page. We're still on Facebook, Threads. And yes, we're now on Blue Sky, as millions of people every day are joining. So find our page on Blue Sky. We're just building that thing up. So follow us, please.
Yes, we appreciate all the support of the program. It's a classy program. I mean, as far as I can tell, like, I don't know if people think that when they listen to our show, they're like, this is a classy effing show. But I feel like it is, don't you?
I think as far as a show that discusses everything from politics to diarrhea, I think we do keep it pretty classy.
Yes, I would think so. That's a great way to describe it. Like, yeah, we talk about everything, but in a classy way. Diarrhea is real. Diarrhea.
Yes, we are keeping that real for sure. And, you know, I mean, who's the most famous person encouraging us to, you know, to keep things on the classy side?
Ron Burgundy, is that who you're talking about?
I believe so, yes.
You stay classy, San Diego.
Yes, please.
And as it says at the end of Anchorman, you stay classy, planet Earth.
Yeah.
You know, Anchorman, I'll tell you, I watch that movie every day in my house, but I never make it past the first about 60, 90 seconds.
Oh, really? 60, 90 seconds? That's how fast you fall asleep?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I generally can fall asleep in silence. I just don't like to. I've gotten groomed into having some noise going on. And I'll tell you, for the first several months with Kennedy, I was very self-conscious about that. Like, I can't have TV on. She's already asleep. And as she told me recently, like, I have slept with the TV on forever. You know, I don't have one in my current bedroom, but I've got no problem with it. So I've been testing those limits. She sleeps very soundly with the TV on.
Really?
So, yeah. So I've been getting back in that habit. And Anchorman, when it's on Netflix, it goes away every few months. That is my fall asleep movie. And I pick comedies because they don't usually get too loud like an action movie does. And there's this almost Pavlovian effect. Like when that opening sequence comes on and, you know, anything he says in that opening monologue about, I like scotch, scotchy, scotch, scotch. Or,
yeah.
You know, any of it. I fade away. I don't ever remember more than the first minute or two. It's got a really soothing effect.
That's quick, dude. I can understand. I do the exact same thing with The Office. Like, I can't watch The Office now because it puts me to sleep, you know, and that's not an insult on the show. It's just what I've used. It takes me a lot longer than you. I usually make it through about two episodes, and then I start a third one, and I don't watch it, but I listen to it.
It's interesting because, I do love Anchorman. It's one of my all-time favorites, you know. But, yes, I've developed this effect where it puts me to sleep. There's been a few nights where I'm like, I'm not quite tired. Let me just watch the first 20 minutes of Anchorman. And, but, yeah, 2 minutes in, I'm just like, my eyes are getting heavy. I just so it
gets
me out. And that is not an insult to that movie by any means. So.
Yeah. No, that's funny, dude. I told you last week on the podcast that there's certain shows that I bring back into my life. You know, I miss them. King of Queens. I'm just getting into King of Queens again. I've seen every episode of King of Queens probably 100 times, but I've been watching it lately, and that show starts with the theme song, right? So Rachel hears it. She doesn't watch TV, but she's forced to hear it. So as she's falling asleep, she hears this theme song over every night. So the other night she woke up and was doing like a slow jazz rendition of the theme song of King of Queens. My eyes are getting weary. My back is getting tight. She was doing it real slow and sexy, kind of.
That's funny. I've never watched King of Queens. I mean, I maybe caught 2 seconds of it here and there, but yeah, I couldn't name the theme song. I've been watching a lot of How I Met Your Mother and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Those are my old sitcoms I have now brought back that I'm watching a lot of, because those are really great sitcoms. How I Met Your Mother is great, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine has really grown on me. It's really funny and well-written show, too. So.
Never seen one episode of it. Is it worth checking out, obviously?
I think it is. It is on Netflix nowadays, and yeah, no, I think it's a great show. Neo loves it, too, so you got two harnesses that are endorsing Nine-Nine.
All right. I'll have to take a look. How I Met Your Mother. I mean, I watched it. I've watched reruns. It's a great show. Did you ever get in on the new How I Met Your Father or whatever?
No, didn't watch even one episode.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Either did I. But because you can't recreate. Okay. That first How I Met Your Mother, that cast was perfect. And you can't duplicate it with other people, you know.
Yeah. Had the saddest ending to any sitcom I've ever seen, but it was still well done. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to spoil it for anyone that hasn't watched the ending of it, but the mother's dead the whole show.
It's very day class A.
So fun stuff. But yes, keeping it classy, Ron Burgundy, a broadcasting hero of ours. An icon for the ages. And yes, he wants us all to keep it classy, Nick.
Yeah, I feel like it's getting harder and harder to do it every day, don't you?
I do, especially with the discourse going on. I mean, society is eroding to a large extent. And politics can be tough to talk in general. But I feel like in my little circle of people I know and trust, it's easy to do. But out in the wild, out in public, especially in the workplace, it's become a very toxic thing. But yeah, people are getting more and more pissy with each other as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's becoming harder to stay classy because, like you mentioned just last episode on the podcast, like this is, we feel like we've explained enough, but you know, it's just, we're morally different. So it's hard to stay classy when we're just talking about morals. You know, it gets people fired up.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of commenting, arguments going on, and yeah, it gets into the workplace as well. So I thought we'd bring people some tips on keeping it classy and or diffusing things in a classy way, right?
Yeah, we've been told to stay that way.
You stay classy, San Diego.
Let's see if you are going to have an easier time keeping it classy in the workplace after you hear just a little of this list, Steve. I've become kind of like a junkyard dog. I don't know how I would react in a workplace right now just because I worked at home for so long. Like, I think if I went into a workplace, I may come home and have to just yell and say it. Like, I can't believe that guy said that. You know, I don't know that I'd be good in a public space. So I'm going to learn from this list as well.
No, it's duly noted. I mean, in our little radio station world, we have a very small group of people we work with. We know everyone's politics. We know what buttons we can and can't push. But
yeah,
there's a lot of people that work in bigger office settings or whatnot, where this has become quite the landmine or the minefield out there, you know.
The first thing on our list, these are all things that help you keep it classy if someone insults you at work. This could be politically. I guess you could use it for anything. Is to reply, I'm sorry you feel that way, which I thought we have tried to get rid of that because it's not an apology. I don't know how classy it is to say, like, sorry you feel that way.
That's a little dickish, actually. Yeah, I don't know. It may feel classy because the words I'm sorry are in there, but that's actually kind of a dig. I'm sorry you feel that way. That puts the burden on them.
Yeah.
And it questions feelings, which we've talked about on the show. Feelings are never wrong.
Yeah, that's right. This says, yeah, when you're insulted by someone, the best strategy is to show empathy to another person to reduce anger quickly. I'm sorry you feel that way. If someone said that to me, like, I would immediately say, like, well, thanks for the accountability. You know, like, come on, dude, that you're sorry I feel that way.
Yeah. My response would be, I'm not sorry I feel that way. You're a douchebag or whatever.
That's
whatever rude thing I'm saying. Is, yeah.
This one, we're going over just a list of how to keep it classy if you're insulted in the workplace. How about saying, thanks for sharing your thoughts? Do you think that's a nice way to let them know that you don't want to really talk about it?
I don't feel like I actually am thanking them. So, again, that seems like somewhat of a dig. Thanks for sharing your stupid opinion with me, is what you're basically saying there.
Yeah, this isn't I don't think these are classy, dude. Oh, here's a classy one, dude. You ready?
It's all written by my ex-girlfriend, is what I could tell. Right. I said it nicely. It was classy the way I said it.
These are supposed to be classy things that you just say when people insult you at work. How about saying this? Let's focus on the work. That's a nice classy thing to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's classy, but it's also a cop-out. Like, you're basically just acknowledging that either what they said is right or you just don't even want to get into it. So why don't we just focus on the work?
Yeah, they're just basically saying in a classy way, I don't want to talk about it, dude.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's the first classy one on this list for my approval.
Yeah. It's sort of spineless. I mean, what did the person say to you?
I don't know.
To my need to push back on everything, maybe I'm projecting a little bit here, but that just sounds like you're sort of rolling over for someone.
You're definitely projecting, dude. You're in your safe space right now, but I think if you were at work in front of these people, like, that'd be an acceptable way to like be like, man, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. That's tough. I don't know.
You can't keep your mouth shut. You can't do it.
It's difficult. Yeah. Kennedy was, we were supposed to go out on a double date with her son-in-law. I keep messing that up.
Stepson.
Yeah. And, you know, he voted for Trump, and Kennedy wanted to ask him in a neutral way, like, hey, just now the election's over, why did you vote for the guy? And I told her, like, that's dangerous. Like, I'm going to have to just bite my tongue and sit there silent, because whatever he says, I'm going to disagree with. So it's going to be tough to keep it classy at that point.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he says something like, you know, immigrants or the economy or whatever, if I just like, hey, let's just focus on dinner here. I'm just rolling over. I'm just being complacent. So.
Yeah, yeah, to a certain degree. How does that get at your craw, dude? I want to know what chemically happens in your brain when you want to say something but can't. Does it make you feel like you want to explode, or does it make you feel guilty for not standing up for the right thing?
I feel the tension in my stomach, you know, in an anxiety-inducing sort of way. And yeah, it makes me feel like I'm not standing up for the right thing or fighting the good fight. It's like it when somebody uses the N-word or something and you just don't say anything. I feel like you're now complicit in it. But I have been in work situations, in part because I'm the boss, where somebody, and you probably know what I'm talking about, says something stupid. And I have to just sort of like, anyway, so, you know, well, let's talk about sales numbers or whatever it is.
That's trickier
because I'm the boss and I don't need to get sued or whatever it is. But, yeah, you feel like you're just, you're just complicit. I feel like in Nazi Germany, people must have been like, you know, hey, that Hitler, he's a great guy. And anyone who was just like, let's talk about work. Like,
right, yeah, I guess you have to have you got to choose your soapbox. You know, this is what, you know what, my brother, who we disagree politically a lot, but he always says these are great things to think about. Like, is the juice worth the squeeze? And what's the upside? Those are the two things you should be asking yourself when you're going into any question, really. And yeah, what's the upside to this? Like, am I actually going to get across from you? I might make a comment that says like, hey, I don't agree with that. Let's focus on the work and denounce it. But is the juice worth the squeeze if I'm going to really get into this with you?
Right. It's funny. I was using that phrase for probably a couple of months after your brother was here visiting, because he said it multiple times. And, it was you, me, Kennedy, and your brother. So it was three liberals and a Trumper. And I didn't want to ruffle feathers. You guys were here in a social setting at your brother, who I really do like. I mean, he's a good guy and all that. Like we've said, there's a lot of Trumpers that if we don't talk politics, you can get along perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And he's one of those kind of guys. So it felt like, no, the juice is not worth the squeeze. Nick knows how I feel. Kennedy knows how I feel. So what is the point?
Right.
But it's tricky in a work setting. If I'm in a one-on-one meeting with somebody, juice isn't worth the squeeze. But what if I've got a woman or a minority listening to what this person is saying? Then I feel like I almost have to say something.
Do you need to shut it down, too? Because are they going to go say that same rhetoric to somebody else? Is it going to be toxic around the workplace? Like, maybe you do have to shut it down, you know?
They're going to assume I agree if I don't push back. And then I don't need an HR complaint on that side of things either. So it's become very tricky, to say the least.
And you know what, dude? To be honest with you, that there are situations, I know for me, that I've left in my lifetime where I left and I thought, you know what? I should have spoken up for what was right. I should have. And that got in my craw and bugged me like, well, you're a shitty person, Nick. Like, you should have said something. And I don't like to be in that situation. So I usually say something.
Well, I don't know if any of these would help in these situations or not, but
right. Yeah.
What else?
Well, we're just trying to keep it classy. These are classy things to say when someone insults you in the workplace. I'll take that into consideration. Made the list. We've heard that one before, right? I think that's a great thing to say. I mean, if you say it, you don't have to be saying it like I'm actually going to take it into consideration. That can be a conversation shutdown as well. Classy.
Well, that's the problem, though. I don't feel like it is classy. If you're like, yeah, okay, I'll take that under advisement. You know, moving on, like you're basically telling them, like, you're an idiot and it's not even worth my time to comment.
No, but you got to work on your tone, dude. This is something Rachel tells me all the time. Like, I can't be fake if I can't do that. And I'm great at that. For better or for worse, I'm great at that. But yeah, you got to work on your tone. You got to say, I'll take that into consideration. Appreciate it. And move on. You can't say like, I'll take that into consideration. Dumb, dumb.
But if you say it legitimately, that implies that you actually are going to take whatever dumb thing they just said into consideration. That's implying that there must be some validity to what they said if you're actually going to consider it.
Not if they don't see any action from you on taking any action on it.
But if somebody's like, hey, the Jews control Hollywood, and you're like, I'll take that under consideration. No, that sounds like that makes you part of the problem. Don't consider that. That's preposterous.
Yes. I don't think you can say it to something like that. But, you know, if someone says, like, I love Trump, this would be an acceptable thing to say if you didn't want to discuss it, right?
I feel like we both just said the same thing. Some terribly racist, dumb thing. If somebody's like, you know, the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFL this season, like, I'll take that under consideration. Like, okay, maybe they are. You can consider it, but no, Trump's a good person, or the Jews control Hollywood. Same thing, dumb, racist, don't take it under consideration.
All right. Okay, we've only got one classy one, all right? We are not going to bend to the needs of this list, so we're highly scrutinizing everything on this list. Is this classy when someone says something insulting at work? How about you say, is there something specific you'd like me to address? Well, that just opens up the conversation, right?
Yeah, really. Well, let me tell you how the Jews run Hollywood.
Right.
Things like, is there something specific you would like me to consider? Like terminating you.
Yes.
If that's how I end it, then yeah, that's probably a legitimate comeback.
That's how our world has changed, though, damn it, dude, because we do have to think about all new relationships in work. If I look back to when you and I worked in radio, like there were people, obviously we could guess their politics, but it wasn't a thing like it is now. We're like, oh yeah, douchebag over there, he's a Trumper, you know?
Yes. I've noticed in the last couple of weeks, anytime anyone does anything dumb around me, I'm just like, yeah, it's a Trump supporter right there. I don't care what it is. And they voted for Trump.
You know? Yeah. I do the same thing.
I almost got T-boned the other night with Crosby in the car, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How'd that happen? Trumper?
Up to an intersection, a four-way stoplight or whatever, a stoplight, traffic intersection.
Yeah.
As I'm rolling up to the intersection, the light turns green. I start to go out into the intersection to make a left turn, and I see this car just barreling down the road. I hit the brakes. They blew right through the red light, barely missed the car. I slam on the horn. They hit the divider on the other side of the intersection and just kept on going down the highway. This is probably a 35-mile-an-hour zone. They must have been doing 60.
Wow.
My thought was, there's a Trump supporter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad and true, I suppose, right? Because, yeah, I would think the same thing. You're so lucky, dude. That's one of those sliding doors moments where, yeah, like, a 3 seconds change in your schedule would have had you T-boned.
100%.
Oof.
Could I have chased that person down and said, I will take it under consideration, what you just did?
Right. How about this one? This is a list of classy things you can say when you get insulted at work. Let's talk about this privately.
Oh, in the parking lot after school. That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, maybe so. If someone insults you in the presence of others, suggesting you take it aside to continue the disagreement can be an effective and polite way. By asking for privacy or better, you signaled that common shaming will not be accepted.
I mean, in this modern day work world, you cannot have a one-on-one conversation that has any sort of adversarialness. Like me and human resources, maybe we'll pull you aside and we'll have a little conversation about that. But that's actually dangerous as hell. If someone has an adversarial thing going with you, to have a private conversation in a workplace nowadays.
Yes. If anything, you want to say, like, can I record this conversation? You know, we need a third party involved.
Yeah.
But because people do, they sue for all sorts of different reasons nowadays. Any reason. You can sue anything for anyone. But yeah, this can be really dangerous.
Yeah. And it does sound like a threat. Like, hey, why don't you and I go talk about this privately?
Yeah. And see if you still have the cojones. Yes. These are all things supposedly to keep it classy when someone insults you in the workplace. How about saying, I'm open to feedback if it's constructive? I understand this list is trying to be classy, but it's being overtly polite, overly polite, in my opinion. Like, we're letting things go here that I'm sweeping under the rug that can't be under there.
Yeah, there's a lot of complacency or going along with things here that don't seem like you should. I feel like maybe if you said any of these things as you're handing them some Grey Poupon, maybe that would be classy.
Maybe it'd be classy enough.
Right. Otherwise, these either seem like you're just kind of going with the flow, or you could actually make the whole situation worse because you're not being classy. It's a lot of backhanded things going on here.
This is a good one, dude. If you don't want to fight, this is a great comment. If you just don't want to get into it with someone, if someone insults you at work, a classy way to let them know is to say, I understand that we have different perspectives.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a nice way to let them know and move on.
Yeah. That sounds like a agree to disagree. And depending on the topic, that can be a classy way to defuse.
Classy.
If it's somebody saying that, you know, Mexicans are lazy, you can't just say, let's agree to disagree. Like, but if it's, you know, how to approach a work topic or something, like, there are, some classy ways to disagree.
Yeah. This one I don't like. This is my least favorite on this list of classy things to say when people insult you at work. I'm focusing on improvement. Thank you.
I'm focusing on improvement.
That says to me, like, I'm taking again into consideration what you just said. I'm a work in progress. You know?
Yeah, or like what you just said is stupid. Like, I'm focusing on improving things around here, therefore what you just said would not be improving. So, I don't know. Some of these sound like backhanded ways to get out of it, and or just ways to subtly insult someone, which I don't think will diffuse and probably is not classy.
I don't know that they're too diffuse, but they are classy. How about saying, I'm more interested in solutions than problems, okay?
Well, yeah, you need a little context on what they're saying there. More interested in solutions than problems. I mean, if somebody's just bitching and moaning about things or saying that something can't possibly work, then yeah, okay, you know, that's a good boss thing to say or whatever, or just, you know, coworker, like, why don't we try to solve this problem instead of complicating it? But
yeah,
you're still kind of putting them down, though, by saying that.
Well, that's all right, dude. How come you don't want to put them down?
It doesn't seem classy to be putting someone down, you know? If that's the premise here, these are classy.
Yeah, I suppose so. I think of classy as, instead of me telling you, like, F you pound sand, that these are just nice ways to shut things down.
I mean, this reminds me of the old days when someone would slap you with a glove and challenge you to a duel. Like, that made me classy, but you still want to go have a gunfight with them.
So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's bring those days back, dude, of slapping each other in the face with gloves. Let me give you the last one on the list. Maybe you've said this in your own life, Steve. This has been a list of classy things to say when people insult you at work. Let's keep things professional. again, I guess it depends on what they said to you. But, I mean, this is, if you don't have a third person, maybe this is a great thing to say because you can't really talk to them about it, right?
But you just called them unprofessional in the workplace, which, again, is pretty antagonistic and insulting.
Well, yeah. Wow. We got to be careful every which way we move, is what you're saying?
Well, in this day and age, yes. In the work world, everyone's a protected class for the most part, and you have to be super careful about things. But, you know, again, if the concept here is to take the high road to be classy, these are just subtle, backhanded ways to insult somebody.
All right. Well, I'm going to say I'll use that one. Let's just keep this professional because it's my opinion that it's what you're doing is unprofessional. You know, maybe it's the majority of the room's opinion that what you're doing is unprofessional.
You just call me unprofessional in the workplace? How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with this list. I have one, though, that it says these are classy phrases, and we're not just making this up. I don't know why classy has become a big thing all of a sudden. But classy phrases that will make people instantly respect you. Oh. So this seems related. Maybe a yin and yang here. Let's see if any of these balance out better. Let's see. Classy phrases that will make people respect you. I take full responsibility for that. Accountability speaks volumes about character. Uttering these words demonstrates a willingness to own your actions, mistakes included. Is it classy to say, I take full responsibility for that?
Of course, dude. Yeah, everyone likes it, you know, when you take accountability. You know, sometimes you're taking accountability for yourself. Sometimes if you're a manager or you manage a team, you're taking accountability for your team. But everyone likes accountability to say, you know what, I did mess up and we're going to get it taken care of. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. There's been a lot of workplace in things where if I screw up, then I will legitimately say, like, all right, I take responsibility. I suggested this initiative. It didn't work or whatever. But there's also a thing that I don't see a lot of anymore in modern day politics, and Trump probably more so than anyone articulates this. The buck stops here, you know? I mean, yeah. the president or the boss, you're supposed to say, even if this wasn't my idea or my fault, like, I'm the boss, so I'm going to have to take responsibility for this. And I have done that a few times where I've said it's not my fault, but it's my problem. Like, okay, maybe I didn't cause this problem, but I am the boss, so I have to take responsibility for this. And there's a lot of people that won't do that, and Trump is a gigantic example.
I'll tell you what, dude. I can say that for working class people, especially, anytime you've done it, I had another boss who used to do this. If I ever made a mistake, they would always say, you know what? Yeah, I messed up. You know, they would take the brunt of it because it does. It ends with the boss. And you can get an employee to respect you no quicker than supporting them, backing them up like that, saying, you know what? Yeah, like I'll jump in and take some of this because the buck stops here.
Yeah, for sure. And the next one on the list is pretty well tied into that, I feel. It's just saying, I was wrong, I apologize. Instead of trying to double down on it or find some excuse for why you were wrong or whatever, if you just own the mistake, it diffuses the entire situation.
Yeah, there's the end of conversation, really.
Yeah, it's a great way to shut people down and a boss, quite frankly. I mean, this was 15 years ago or whatever, but the GM at the station we're at now when we first started there, I did screw up, you know. I came from the big city radio where you argue with listeners, and I got in an argument in this small town with someone, and I told them they were a moron or whatever it was. And this
you?
Is too small of a town.
This is you?
Yes, exactly. And yeah, that listener went and narked on me to the boss, and the boss at the time really started tearing into me. And 10 seconds into this woman kind of screaming and berating at me, I just told her, like, you're right. I apologize. I was wrong. I should not have done this. And she wanted to kind of keep going. And she did a little. And I just said again, like, no, you're correct. I messed up here. I take full responsibility. And it almost frustrated her that she couldn't just continue to berate me or get it off her chest because I was telling her, like, I screwed up. I take full responsibility. So
yeah.
Why are you still berating me? You
know? Completely. I've done it with my wife before. I've said that, you know, like, you're right. I'm sorry. I was totally my fault. I apologize. And she'll say, like, I want to fight a little more. Like, right. Okay. Like, I want to fight a little bit. Like, come on.
Yeah, I've done that in relationships, and I've told, like, oh, get it off your chest if you just gotta, you know, berate me. But I'm telling you, yes, I messed up here.
Right.
And this is a relationship philosophy that I've tried to explain to some people. Like, I'm only going to argue with you if I think I'm right, and I'm trying to get that out. If I know I'm wrong, I am not dumb enough to try to double and triple down on it, because I know it's just going to make me look even dumber.
What does that mean, though? Like, are you telling the person, your significant other, that if I'm arguing, I'm right? Or are you saying, I think I'm right?
I think I'm right. I'm not going to sit here and debate this with you if I don't feel I am in the right here. I'm not going to belittle you and just tell you I am right. There is no discussion here. But the only reason I'm pursuing this thing is because I feel I'm right. And hopefully in this debate, you'll either see where I'm coming from, or you can show me some fact that makes me, change my stance. But I'm not just arguing to argue. I'm not just being a dick here. My intentions are that I think I'm right. So I'm trying to get that across to you.
Yeah. There's a Dr. Gottman. Is that what his name is?
Yes.
That he talks about that a lot of, you know, well, you should not be trying to defend things all the time. Like sometimes or all the time, listen with the ear. If somebody is telling you something, they're telling you how they feel. Right. Yeah. So why would I want to? That's not what I was trying to say. I didn't mean it like that. Just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's awful.
Right. I literally have a book here by
John Gottman
within arm's reach. Oh,
have you been reading it as of late?
No, I haven't. But I've often argued that this book is relationship based. So it doesn't matter if you read it already. You should reread it in any relationship you're in, because it all changes based on whoever you're with.
It's a textbook.
Yeah, for the most part. And it's funny, I was on a Zoom call the other night with Kennedy, meeting my dad for the first time over Zoom, because he hasn't been here forever. Kennedy made some comment, like, my dad had a bunch of books on the bookshelf behind him, and she made a comment of like, hey, I see you've got a lot of books behind you, you know, your son doesn't have a book in this whole house. And first of all, I immediately grabbed my Howard Stern book, which I'm using to hold my laptop up so I can't demonstrate. I was like, all right, here's my Howard Stern book right here. And then I didn't even realize, well, in the desk drawer, here's another book I'm reading. So I do have books around me. So
yeah. Like, you just didn't. There's a disagreement on if people use a library anymore. Like, she reads a lot. You're not a reader of books. You read a lot, but not books.
Right. I also have multiple comic books sitting right here. I'm just saying. Those are technically books. And yes, I read a lot of articles and whatnot. But I did go on Amazon today and I just typed in like classic adult novels. Like, I think I may just get a variety pack of novels to sit around the house. Maybe I'll get to The Great Gatsby one of these days. Like, I don't know, but
listen, will you read a book? If I recommended a book to you, because you know I'm not a huge reader either, would you read a book if I recommended it?
I mean, I would be more inclined if it was a book about a topic I truly care about. Do I really want to read The Great Gatsby just so I can say I've read it? Like, I don't know where I'm finding the time in my day.
Well, go read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, because it'll be something you can relate to. The book basically, you know, using working on a motorcycle as metaphors for life, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's a classic. I mean, it's a great book. I think you'd enjoy.
Yeah, I feel like if I'm going to dive into the reading world, I should start with something that may actually interest me, as opposed to Dorian Gray, that was also on this list of classic adult novels I should have on my shelf. So,
right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. I've read all of Howard Stern's books. Like, I do, if there is a topic that interests me, I'm not opposed to it. Back to the list here. Classy phrases that will make people instantly respect you. I really appreciate what you did for me. Gratitude is a powerful tool in building respect and rapport. Expressing genuine appreciation for someone's actions and knowledge, it shows their effort and their impact.
Sure. It's a win-win, right? Anytime people thank you for something, like either there may be a part of you that feels like, yeah, I did go out of my way for them. That's nice that, you know, they see it, they acknowledge it. Or if you didn't even realize you did anything, you'll go home thinking about that. Like, God, I didn't even know I was doing anything. And, you know, he was really thankful for me. Like, that's cool. So win-win.
I mean, how often do I text you back? You'll say something nice or profound and I'll say, like, I appreciate that.
Right. Yes.
I do it with Kennedy all the time, too. And I don't know. I feel like that's one of those, like, it is such minimal effort to just tell someone, I appreciate what you did. I appreciate you cooking dinner. I appreciate that you picked the movie we're going to watch tonight. Like, it's so easy to do, but it does. It goes a long ways. And I like it when someone says it back to me.
Yeah, for sure. There is, there is a age-old way that, you know, there's a lot of conversation right now about alpha and beta, okay? Yes. And there's an age-old thought that the alpha male doesn't say those things. So when they do, they're like, it's so, like, I never saw my dad cry one time. And then, you know, when his dad died, I saw him shed a tear. Like, it has to set up a profound moment. But in all these moments in life, like, I don't understand why we're not just sharing our genuine emotion. Like, it is some heroic move to be able to bury your emotions inside and not tell people about them.
I was thinking about that the other day in one of my sitting around the house alone or driving or wherever the hell I was, that there is some negative inference with being an alpha. But really, I mean, Spider-Man behind me, Captain America, like a great president, like alpha is not necessarily a bad thing. We need good alphas.
Sure.
Just like masculinity on its own is not a bad thing. Masculinity has a lot of positive attributes. It's when you make it toxic masculinity, when you take a good thing and you weaponize it.
It's been confused as what masculinity actually is. Like, it is very alpha to be able to admit that you're wrong and that you made a bad decision and you're going to do better. You know, like, that's a masculine thing to do. So I think that's part of where we're at right now, is people need to start understanding what being an alpha, what a masculine actually means.
Yeah, absolutely. And being a beta or being feminine, and I'm not saying women have to be the beta, but I'm just saying, like, beta has become a negative, or femininity has somehow become a negative. Like, there are negative aspects of femininity and masculinity, alpha and beta, but yeah, we got to stop assuming it's all good or it's all bad, because it's not. All right, moving down the list here. These are classy ways to make people respect you. Next one says, if you sell you to somebody, how can I repay the favor? Offering to reciprocate takes gratitude a step further. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a concept you and I have struggled with, as my therapist has told me. I'm supposed to offer help, like, let me know if I can help you, but I'm not supposed to offer examples of help. And I have still been struggling with that.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because they also say you're supposed to say, don't put the onus on me. You should just offer, tell me, I'm going to bring you meals while you're going through this, or I'm going to pick up the kids 3 times a week while you're going through this. Like, so yeah, that's confusing, dude.
It is. 'Cause I feel like that's the nice thing. Like, you're sick, I'm going to make you dinner, but I don't know what the fine line is here, because Kennedy did just get sick over the weekend, and I wanted to just show up with supplies or whatever. Or just tell her, like, I'm going to go get you the medicine. And it's coming. But I was trying to go with my therapeutic teachings, and I just told her, like, let me know if I can help you. I will come over if you want me to. Like, I will do whatever is necessary. But, yeah, my urge is just to do it.
Yeah, that's a tough one, dude, because you don't want to seem – that almost comes across as like – I care, but not that much. Like, you and I both have that hero complex of, like, I'm going to grab the meds. I'll be there in 25, you know? So, yeah. How'd she react to it? Did she take it well?
You know, that she appreciated the notion, the gesture. You're a good guy. I'll let you know if I need help. So I didn't actually do anything, but I offered.
Well, I guess it's all you can do.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone forcing their way into helping me. You know, like sometimes if I tell like my mom, like, no, I'm all good. And she cares so much that she's like, no, I'm going to bring this over for you or I'll take care of this. Like, it almost makes me feel bad that she's doing that. Like, it was unnecessary. So I don't know that I like forced help. So maybe that's the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, according to my shrink, that's codependent behavior. That you're going to basically force your help on someone else. I think that takes it a step further. If I say, I am going to do this and come over, and the person says, really, I don't need you to do that, and then you then do it, I think that's even worse. And I can actually see that now. Like, you told me, don't do it. I don't need you to drive over here, and you still do it. That's
right.
Pretty dismissive of what they just told you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a tricky one, man. I wish you good luck in the future.
Exactly. Let's see here. These are classy phrases to make people respect you. If you say, I'm sure there's a way that we can make this work for both of us. I understand the concept of win-win thinking, but can everything always work for both of us? I don't know. I don't know what a good example of that would be. I guess it's taking the high road, makes you sound classy, but is it practical?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, listen, if you're in a romantic relationship, married, you know, any romantic relationship, like, obviously, it's got to come down to that, right? Where, like, you know, we'll find something that works for both of us. But sometimes in a business setting, like, that's not an option, dude. I wish it were. But it's not. It's not always an option. But, yeah, you have to make that possible in your, you know, romantic relationships for sure.
I guess I was taught in the work world to hear everything out, but then I'm the boss. I'm going to make a decision. And I get the concept there. But I also feel like everyone tell me their ideas. All right, cool. Nope. Here's what we're doing. Like, maybe just don't ask for their input and just say, like, hey, guys, like, I've already thought all these angles through, and this is what we're going to do.
You're pretty good at being diplomatic enough to take everyone's advice and maybe work a little in here, work a little in there, but ultimately, you know, do what you need to do.
Yeah. Well, the next one on this list is similar. It's I'm open to any feedback you guys have. And I guess the question is, are you just saying that to let them vent and then, like, check it off your list and move on? Or are you actually open to any feedback, as in you'll take it and do something with it?
I think the only caveat of that is that if you're going to say that, you have to go into listening with an actual open ear. To go in blindly saying, you know what, I actually am going to listen to what they say, and if I see a point that I haven't thought about, I'm going to bring it in.
Yeah, it's tricky, because sometimes good leaders know, I've made the decision, this is what we're going to do. You don't want to appear wishy-washy or whatever it is.
Sure.
Now, in a relationship, that's probably different than in a work environment, but sometimes you need a boss to just be definitive. I think a lot of people don't respect bosses that can be persuaded one way or the other.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. That's more of a balanced one, too, because I think you're right. I can see both sides to that. So you got to be diplomatic in all of that. But yeah, there are times for you to say, you know, respectfully, like, this is what I'm doing, and I appreciate it.
I gave you a chance, I guess. It makes you look classy.
Yeah, you are classy, dude.
Man, who knows? All right, here's a concept that I've embraced and said a lot to not only coworkers, but to my children. I'm willing to learn from my mistake. Now, they're saying that you should say that to come off as classy, and I would agree. But I've always told people, again, coworkers or my kids, mistakes are fine to make if you learn from them.
What if you don't learn from them?
Then they're not okay to make. If you're just going to ignorantly keep repeating your mistakes over and over, this is a problem. Children will be punished. Coworkers will be fired. But if you screwed up and you now realize the mistake and you can make this a learning moment, epic. That's the best type of mistake there is.
Yeah, because then it's be transformed to experience, right?
Yes, and it should bother you if you've made a mistake. That worries me. If you've made a mistake and you just don't really care at all.
Have you made a mistake over and over again anytime in your life where you're like, God, why do I keep doing that?
Well, I mean, the fact that I'm single, yes. Apparently, I've made multiple mistakes over and over again. I mean, yeah. I'm not single, actually, but you know what I mean. Like,
yes.
The fact that I'm on two different relationships in life is, yeah, apparently I've made some mistakes before.
Yeah, but You're fine tuning your mistakes. Still, you're trying to learn from every mistake. You may not learn the lesson, the whole lesson, the first time you make that mistake, but you should learn every time you make it, right?
Yeah, and a mistake should resonate with you. You know, anytime my kids will say, like, "Boy, I feel bad about that," I'm like, "Well, that's good. That means you have some moral compass or some sense of duty."
Yeah, yeah.
I made a mistake in radio once that has haunted me ever since, but it's one of those things where, like, damn, I felt so terrible about that I would never make that mistake again.
What, just masturbating in the studio?
No, that's a mistake I fully embrace. I mean, check the break room, make sure no one's around or whatever. But now, very early in my radio career, I was a board op at 94.7 WCSX, Detroit's classic rock station. I was working my way up in the world, and so I was a board op, which for anyone who's not in radio, that means you're the person sitting at the controls and you have a DJ doing their own thing. They're not sitting there hitting the buttons, playing the music, playing commercials. And this was a thing where the big afternoon drive disc jockey, Carl Coffey, was in New York City for the Grammy Awards. And he was at some media day event where celebrities were coming around and they were, being interviewed on radio stations around the country. And I think it was one of the guys from the Jay Giles Band. But I don't know. It was some famous musician or whatever. And we had been doing roundtable interviews. And, you know, this is like, you know, music's playing and someone comes up. So you're listening in queue and it's like, all right, we got, Debbie Harry's coming over. Hit record. Like, and they do the interview, you know?
Yes.
So whoever this famous musician was came over and the DJ started talking to him so casually that I thought he was prepping him for the interview. Like, hey, come on over, man. We're talking. You know, we're just going to do a couple minutes here about this and this and that. And he just rolled right into the interview and I wasn't recording.
Yeah.
So my heart sunk because 2 minutes into this, I realized, like, this is the interview. I'm not recording it.
Yeah.
And he got done with the interview and I had to tell him, Carl, I didn't realize that was the interview. I didn't hit record until midway through. And first of all, Carl Coffey got really pissed off at me. But then I could hear him on the mic go and get this rock star and tell him, like, I am so sorry. We weren't recording at the station. Can we do the interview again?
Oh.
And the second interview was stiff and forced. It was not what they had done. I felt like the biggest freaking failure and screw up in the history of radio. And like I said, just telling the story makes my stomach hurt. So
did you apologize? Like, you just couldn't stop apologizing, or did you just let it go at one?
No, I mean, I apologized after the interview was over for the rest of the week when the guy got back to the station. Like, I beat myself up forever on that. And, you know, I learned my lesson. Digital tape it's infinite. So just record. You can cut all the crap out at the beginning. I was in this mindset of save the hard drive space, hit record right as they're about to start talking or whatever.
And sure.
Yeah, that mistake haunted me because I had a work ethic. I felt bad. There's some professionalism there. So I learned from the mistake. Therefore, I have to say it's quote unquote okay that I made it.
Do you feel like you're a perfect person? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I definitely don't feel that in any way, shape, or form. Okay. But I feel like in the radio station, like I'm not perfect, but I've got some professionalism.
Sure.
I was early in my career, so it was a mistake. But yeah, it still haunts me.
No, dude, I've got everyone in radio's got a few things that, radio's live. So if you mess it up, it's not like it's easily fixable. So everyone's got their moment in radio where you're just like, oh, my stomach dropped, dude. I felt like I wanted to die. I get it.
Yes. Again, learn from these mistakes. I suppose Carl must have respected some amount of me owning the mistake. I could have said the hard drive froze. There was a power surge here. I could have tried to dodge it somehow, but I just owned it.
Good for you, dude. I don't know if I would. To be honest with you, I don't know. But I don't know at that age, 19 years old, I don't know if I would have done that, to be honest.
Yep. Yeah. Now that I think back, I probably should have said one of those things.
Right. What I'm saying is, way to be classy, dude.
Let's see. These are things to say to people that are classy that will make them respect you. I trust your judgment on this matter. Now, is that something that if you're agreeing to disagree, but you're going to go with them? or I already agreed with you, so I'm just going to like pretend like I'm letting you take this to make it seem like I'm going to trust your judgment on this one.
It's a classy way to say, like, this better effing work, yeah, or it's your ass, you know.
Put it all on you.
Right, yeah. 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 When I think classy, you know, I think the top hat on Mr. Paint It, and I think of the monocle and cane, like, classy, you know. That doesn't seem classy to me. That's more of a veiled threat. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know,
you have to wear a tuxedo when you say all these things. Is that how it's classy?
Right. You should be. Or even with a British accent, like we've talked about that, that makes everything a little more classy.
Yes, Governor, I trust your judgment on the matter. Right. How about you make a really good point? I feel like a lot of the times that's a dismissive way. Like, hey, that's a valid point. Not going to do it. But boy, that's a valid point you've made.
I don't think you're allowed to say you have to have follow up on that. Like, you make a really good point, and then let me know what my good point was and how you're taking it into consideration. If you're shutting me down with like, well, that's a good point, and I just got nothing for you, that means you're really not taking it into consideration.
Yeah, it gets back to, do you say this in any setting? You know, again, if somebody says something overtly sexist, racist, or whatever it is, well, you got a valid point there. You know, we're not going to do that, but you have a valid point.
Right. Yeah, you're just, I think that makes you a bad person. If you think I have a valid point, but you're still going to go against it, you're dumb.
Yeah. No, these are tricky things. I mean, some of these, yeah, set you up in a classy sort of way. Other of them seem to be a little bit codependent or enabling people. Because if you tell someone, like, you got a valid point, but I'm going to do what I do, that still leaves the seed in their mind that they had a valid point. So in the next job or the next whatever it is, they may still hold on to that belief because, hey, the last boss said it was a valid point.
Right. Yeah. You're not doing your job. I guess, and like we said, it's about what they said. Like, if it's something racist or something, like, yeah, you gotta say something. But some of these are just to end conversation. I'm gonna take it for that. I'm not gonna read into it. Maybe when I get home, Rachel and I'll talk, like, can you believe he said this? Like, valid point, dumb. You know, but at that moment, I'm gonna take it for what it's worth. All right, he's shutting down, doesn't want to talk about it.
I think the further into my career I get, the less people I want to work with because of all this stuff. Like, working at home in my own little studio, like, yeah, I agree with everything I'm doing. You know?
Yeah. That's a tricky one because I, like I said, I've become the junkyard dog. You know, I haven't been around people. I don't know how to play well with others. Right. And there's a part of me that misses it. But I think that my coffee cup would be filled very quickly, like in a week, and then I would want to be working alone again, you know.
Yes, indeed. So I don't know. I guess these are all food for thoughts for everyone, for keeping it classy.
I don't think they're classy, dude. This is classy.
My name is Rupert.
Like, these are classy ways to talk.
Oh, now you are a champion.
Right?
Yeah, I can feel the monocle that he's wearing.
How about a clean bed for this champion?
That is a nice way to ask for a hotel room. That is classy.
How about a clean bed for this champion?
It does come down to that old premise. Everything sounds better with an accent. So class it up a notch. And then you can say your dumb, narrow-minded things.
Right. And thanks for listening to our podcast, dude. We always love to have you here. We release two of these bad boys each and every week. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. See us online.
Yeah, thevocalminority.net. That's our website. There's random information there. Social media, though, that's where we have the real fun. So we encourage everybody to comment, to share, to like, or to dislike, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Facebook, Reddit, YouTube, TikTok, screw Twitter, and Blue Sky we're on now. So try to find us there. Let's build up that page, won't you?
We appreciate you as always, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, my mini champions. It's your favorite old bag, Betty White. This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. New podcasts are released twice a week. Don't forget to watch The Golden Girls wherever great TV is watched.
Oh, now you are a champion.